Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, how good it is to be gathered in this place this morning to worship God together. The risen Christ comes to his disciples and says to them, "Peace be with you." And he commissions his disciples, saying, As God sent me, so do I send you. So our word to one another and to the world is peace. Peace be with you. So we gather here this morning in peace and in welcome. So wherever you are in your journey of life and faith, friends, know that you are welcome here. Peace be with you. There are a lot of announcements in our worship bulletin this morning. And actually, I see quite a lineup of people. So I'm going to let them go ahead and get started. And anything they haven't said, I'll fill in afterwards. So go ahead, Mary.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know if you have noticed this poster in the lobby. It's been there since January. And if you haven't, it says, "Emoji on over and join us in the per capita challenge." Many of you have contributed already to that. Session has set a goal of raising $8,500 to help defray the total cost of our per capita assessment, which is about $16,000. And to date, we've collected $5,700. So we need about $3,000 more. And we're asking that each member of your confirmed member of your family would contribute $31. That's the charge that the National PCUSA charges us for the per capita. All churches, Presbyterian churches, most of the money stays back here locally in our presbytery. So please consider doing that and emoji on over.
Good morning. Presbyterian women at the presbytery level are having their spring gathering here on Saturday, April the 28th. We'd like you to sign up today in order for us to know the number that we have to prepare for the luncheon. We have an internationally acclaimed storyteller coming to do stories of the Bible. We have childcare available. So please, please, please consider coming. You can sign up in the lobby. If you have any questions, please ask me after church. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Presbyterian women are very active. We have something else coming up this month. On Thursday, April the 26th, we're having our annual spring luncheon. It's going to be held in the educational area of our building. It's going to be at noon at 12 o'clock. All you need to bring is a salad to pass. Dessert, beverage, and rolls and butter will be provided by the Elizabeth Circle. I hope to see all you ladies here on Thursday the 26th. Thank you.
Speaking of Presbyterian women, it's that time of year for the mother-child banquet. The sign-up is in the lobby. I wanted to let everyone know this year we are having Jungle Terry come with an animal show for the kids and adults. It's going to be fantastic. Please sign up in the lobby.
Just quickly, I want to invite you, after the service today, we're having a reception for the artists in the art show opening today. It'll be sculptor William Brady Jr. and Edinburgh art professor Fred Scruton. I can't pronounce it right. The photographer who has done a number of the pictures in the exhibit. So come after church.
And just a quick reminder that I'm here on Wednesdays doing math homework help tutoring from 4:15 to 6. Reminder, all middle school, high school students, come bring friends. I will be here. Thanks.
An announcement that's important for you to know is that the Worship Music and Fine Arts Committee is considering having one service during the summer months this year, and they would like to hear your thoughts about this. So next Sunday, after the 8:30 and after the 11, there will be a conversation time to kind of run around a couple of questions. Are you open to the idea of worshiping in a unified service for the summer? And would this time change deter you from attending worship during the summer? A couple of very important questions to be discussed next Sunday. So please be aware of that. There are, like I say, other announcements in your worship bulletin, but let's take a few moments right now and greet those around us as we begin our worship this morning.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. So here is what we are to do. With God's help, take our ordinary life, and place it before God as an offering. To embrace God's care for us is pleasing to God.
Our prayer this morning is actually going to be a song, and it's an easy song. You don't even have to get your hymnal out. You can just look at the words in the bulletin. Dawn is going to play through the melody, and then we're going to sing it through. But first, before she does that, we're going to do, and I know this is hard with hymnals, but the words are so easy. It's a take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. You can try that, can't you? Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Oh, beautiful. Play it through there, Dawn. Our risen Lord Jesus comes to us all. Our risen Lord gives us hope for life now, life abundant, life eternal. Friends, live in the hope and the joy of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children up for the children's message. Come on up, buddy. Karen Haas is going to be leading us this morning. Hi. Are you set there, Karen?
I think you're good. All right. Am I? Yes. Come on up. We can stand if you would, please. I'm hoping you're going to do something with me this morning. At school, we do something at second grade that's called a brain break, which usually means we do something that's active. Did you do it at your school, too? And today, we're going to do something that I think you're going to know. It goes like this. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes, eyes and ears and mouth and nose, head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Great job. Have a seat. So, If you participated in that, put your hand in the air, stretch a little bit, and pat yourself on the back. Great job. So, why do you think you learned that song, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes? What does that do? It helps you learn the different parts of the body. Do it with me again, part of it. When you touch your head, it helps you remember, this is my head. What are these? What are these? What are these? Toes. We learn in the Bible that sometimes when people touch, it helps them remember and know something about their body. We also learn in the Bible that God and Jesus love every one of us. They love us with our body, our head, our shoulders, our knees, and our toes. Every one of us, no matter who we are. So, you are a beloved child of God. You are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are. Everyone is a beloved child of God. So, if we can say a little prayer together, that would be children young and children old, if you could repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving.
For loving.
All of me.
All of me.
It feels good.
It feels good.
To be.
To be.
A child of God.
A child of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up this morning.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination.
Come, Lord Jesus,
and stand among your disciples. Open to us the ancient word so that it speaks to our lives today. Fill our hearts with confidence and peace, flowing from the source of your goodness, truth, and love. Amen. The first reading today is a portion of Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. That text is on page 578 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bibles. For it was you who formed in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. The text is on page 91 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. This is another story about the appearance of the resurrected Jesus. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord.
For many of us who have lost loved ones, the resurrection is so important to us in shaping our thoughts about what comes next for those we loved and what comes next for us. The Bible does not speak in a singular voice about that. And so instead of a clear roadmap and a clear description of what exactly we are to expect, what we are able to glean from stories of the resurrection is hope. Hope about our ultimate value to God, so that we and our loved ones are kept secure in God in the life to come and in this life. This story from Luke speaks to that concern, but probably in ways different from what we might imagine about eternal things. For if we take a look at this story, Luke has included a lot of flesh and blood detail about the risen Lord. There's much focus upon the physical Jesus. Jesus even says, "Hey, look, I'm not a ghost." Luke wants us to hear the message that resurrection points to flesh and blood, not to disembodied spirits loose in the world. This is not about being frightened, about having to deal with something like a ghost, which certainly is beyond our ability to understand and only creates doubts and confusion. "Look at my hands and feet," is what he says. "See that it is me, the only me they have known, the flesh and blood, Jesus." Jesus shows them his hands and his feet, and Luke puts that description in there twice. And then the detail that completes the picture, Jesus asks for something to eat, broiled fish, kind of a cool detail. And for many of us who haven't an overabundance of flesh and blood, this is a strong statement about the physical body, the reality of the human condition, the common ground of all flesh, the need for food, the need to eat. So, take a moment and feel your arm, your too solid flesh. Feel your arm or your hand. Make sure, rub your head. If you didn't do that during the children's sermon, you can do it now. And with the permission of the person next to you, if there is someone next to you, touch their shoulder or shake their hand. Yeah. Touch the person there. Yeah. Okay, cut it out over there. Okay, Luke brings home an important point about resurrection. It's a strong message about the place in which all human life occurs, and where the image of God is placed in humankind, and where the Spirit of God dwells with humanity. And where is that? It is in the human body. This idea is deep in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's deep in the theology of the Old Testament. The body is the place from which all of our thoughts, all of our discovery, all of our imagination springs. I shared this thing on Facebook this week because it was so amazing, this image of the moon, and you could see tiny beside it, you could see Saturn moving behind the moon. Just amazing. But where does that view come from? It
It's us. It's humans looking at that. Without the body, without us, without human life, these are just rocks floating in space. But we see it. It's from within us. Those beautiful words in Psalm 139 lift up the unique and wondrous value of our created selves. It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The treatment of this precious flesh is important, and why crucifixion and any destruction of human life is to be condemned. This resurrection story is a message about the value of life and human life in particular. The body is redeemed, risen, honored, and blessed. Resurrection is an equalizer. It's not just Jesus. It's every human life that's drawn into God's light now through the risen one who triumphed over the powers of death. Now, part of my imagination has been inspired by a television show. I hate to admit it, but it has. Actually, a pretty good show that we've enjoyed that Anita and I have been watching. And the show is This Is Us. Some of you may have seen that. Some of you may hate it. But in any case, it is a show, and there are several things about it that grab my attention. First of all, it's about a family where the children are triplets. And if you didn't know it already, Anita, my wife, is one of a set of triplets. So that immediately drew us in. But this Caucasian family that's the star of the show, from Pittsburgh, of all places, is different in that the triplets are fraternal. So one is a boy, one is a girl, and one did not survive birth. And so in the wonderful weaving of a story, an orphaned newborn black child who is at the hospital is adopted to become the third in this set. And what we see watching the show is these siblings throughout their growth with their tensions and struggles, and then we see their development. And then as adults, we see them as a unit that's diverse. We see them as individuals in the world where one is black, one is very overweight, and the one who might be termed in TV world as normal is this huge mess of anxiety. Characters in the story reveal the joys and struggles of older age and childhood. Now, I said the title of the show is This Is Us, and of course, it refers to the family, but in the reality of life in the world, it has a double meaning, which is not lost in the viewing. This is us, all of us, defined, stereotyped, categorized, revered, despised, misunderstood, chosen, neglected, gifted, beloved. All of these things that the world visits upon us, and we visit upon each other. Jesus stands among the disciples, stands among us, and in his resurrected self, he speaks the words that the world so badly needs to hear and to obey. Peace. Peace be with you. His body, controlled and abused, ruined and killed, he carried in himself all the hate and horror of humankind. Now he reveals the precious commodity of every human life. He is risen not only for people who wear the name Christian, but for the whole world, for all people. This repentance and forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in his name is now less about conversion than maybe it once was. It's about the affirmation of every living person, about redeeming the way people are to view each other and to view themselves. Luke has the disciples see the risen Jesus in all his wounded flesh and glory. So now, Now they will not be able to see the rest of humankind as they have before. They will look with eyes that have seen God's highest and best honoring of human life, the resurrection of the human body, the beginning point for the love that now must enter the world. Beside the testimony of the risen Lord, how can the world ever affirm the exaltation of one color of skin above another, or approve the domination of one culture by another? How can the world forbid love and commitment between individuals, or relegate one gender to a subservient role? How can the world focus upon categories of beauty to the end that some are considered ugly and unworthy or to be feared? Isaac Villegas, who is pastor of the Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship in North Carolina, reflects on his experience of how our view of one another can become distorted and what it means for our experience to be redeemed. He writes, "Once in a class I taught in a prison, the incarcerated men started talking about which officers and staff would and wouldn't shake their hands. To shake hands was a sign of mutuality, of recognition that they shared at least one thing in common, their human flesh. The men were grateful for a new chaplain who had started that week. He looked them in the eyes and shook their hands. I could imagine them saying the words of Jesus, 'Touch me and see. Shake my hand and discover that I am human like you.' The gospel of Christ's peace happens when our gentleness is made flesh." France Fanon from Martinique writes, "Why not simply move toward a trust where we might be able to touch the other, to discover each other. To trust in the resurrection of Jesus is to believe in the transfiguration of all flesh, to believe that God comes to us in our encounter with the other." Isaac Villegas continues, "Touch me and see. Don't shoot. See my body. See my life. It's like yours, human flesh." Jesus invites his friends to see him as a stranger who is a friend, another who is the same, to recognize Jesus' flesh in others, and to discover that our neighbor's hand offers us the fellowship of Christ. Jesus' words convey to us the embodiment of this message, then. You are witnesses of these things. We can provide testimony to the reality of what Jesus' resurrection means for the world. He's helping us and helping the world toward the vision of the realm of God in the here and now. So be encouraged. Take the risk. Trust in God's love. Expect new life. Be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, and look for that to be the case in others, even where we may not expect. To take a riff on something Isaiah wrote, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet, the hands, the flesh, the blood of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who announces with openness, 'Your God reigns.' Peace be with you." Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Jill Abbott and Nancy Fye to come forward, and our clerk of session, Bobby Joe Fye, to come and join me right up here at the front. In your worship bulletin, you'll find a service for ordination somewhere in the midst of about 14 inserts in here. I can't find mine. Thank you. So join with me as we begin the service of ordination. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them.
There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served.
God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, one that we all share together, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons and as elders. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world and ordering the governance of the church, proclaiming the word and administering the sacraments.
Representing the whole Church of Jesus Christ, the session of Wayside Presbyterian Church now ordains and installs Jill Abbott, who is already ordained as a deacon, to serve as an elder, and installs Nancy Fye, who is already ordained, to serve as a deacon.
Sisters in Jesus Christ, now answer these questions as your pledge and promise to serve the church in this place and in this world. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you? Do you receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expressions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Will you be a faithful elder? This is for you. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Will you be a faithful deacon, watching over the people, seeing to the care of the friendless, the poor, those in need, and the lonely? Will you watch with care and prayer over the people, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I
Do we, the members of Wayside Presbyterian Church, accept Nancy Fye as a deacon and Jill Abbott as an elder, chosen through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Do we?
I now invite all of those who have been ordained to service in the church to come forward for the prayer and laying on of hands. You'll want to bring your bulletin insert for the congregational portion of the prayer. I'm going to have you two turn and face the cross. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages you've been faithful to your covenant people, whom you've called out of bondage and redeemed to be your own. In every time and place you've chosen your servants from among your people to point the way to salvation. We are grateful for our ancestors in the faith who have followed without fear, placing their trust in you alone. We thank you for men and women in every age who've nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. Now, let us all join our voices as we pray together. God of grace, you have called us to a common ministry, invited us to be ambassadors in Christ, and trusted us with your ministry of reconciliation. Grant your blessings on these newly ordained, installed officers of Wayside Presbyterian Church. Give them the ability to discern your will for us and the courage to act on their faith. And may all of us rightly follow where they rightly lead us, so that together we may declare your wonderful deeds and show your love to the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You are now a ruling elder and a deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. And now, signs of affection and welcome are appropriate. You will find the prayers of the church, of the congregation, listed here in the worship bulletin. Remember Joe Gallagher and Linda Magda, who is Vince Sidorowicz's mother. Ron and Mary Kolb, who continue to deal with health issues. We hear that Ron is making some good progress, and we're grateful for that. We heard from the McCulloughs today that Shane Murdoch is not doing well, and so our prayers are particularly lifted up for that family. We pray for Karen and for Debbie, for Mark, for for Peggy Buells, who's under medical care at Manchester. Bill Jarris has had a heart condition, a heart attack over the week, and is at Hammett Hospital. He's doing well and hopes to come home in just the early part of the week, so our prayers are with Bill. We always remember these many folk from our congregation, related and friends, who are serving around the world. We share our sympathies with Nancy Cederloff and her family in the death of her brother Ron Manchester, who went by the name of Toby on Thursday. Nancy tells me that he was, for many years, a PE teacher at McDowell High School during the 1950s and 1960s. Some of you may remember him. We continue our prayers always for Devin Johns. We pray for our teachers, students, and parents at the IU 5 preschool, which is housed here at Wayside, and our friends in the Glad You Are Here group that meets on Monday nights. For the Presbytery, we remember Daryl Knopp, who is the temporary supply at Emlinton. And we know that the co-moderators of the last 2 years of the General Assembly, Denise Anderson and Jan Edmiston, must be breathing a sigh of relief as they see the General Assembly coming in June when a new moderator will be elected. We're grateful for their ministry. We pray for reconciliation in our relationships, for those who suffer hunger and thirst, for people who struggle with mental illness. Our hearts are particularly lifted up in prayer for the situation in Syria, for the warfare that is there, the danger to individuals, and our prayer for peace. And we're in prayer for any time that we live with fear of the other and the separateness that that causes us and the responses that come from that that may lead to harm. Let us turn to God with our prayers. God, we are your people, and we are people of Easter faith because we live in faith concerning the resurrection of Christ. We confess to a certain amount of amazement and wonder about the resurrection, and given our scientific and often skeptical minds, we are not sure about what happened and how. Still, we know and sense that you walk with us in all our life, and we each can point to times and seasons when our hope was gone, and in which we found your resurgent life moving in us, taking us to a new day and inducing in us new life. For the power of the testimony of Christ resurrected, for the mystery of his risen life at work in the world, we are grateful beyond words to fully express. For surely that resurrection hope tells us that when the horrors of warfare sweep across the earth, that death and destruction are not your will, that they do not have the final word, and that your redeeming love is already at work in those seeking peace, and in the hands of caregivers and of those heroically at work to intervene for life and the good of all. We know that in the wake of conflict, your power seeks to bring good out of evil, and to move us ever farther along toward that day when your peace will reign and you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We know your resurrection hope at work in the advances of medical science to overcome suffering and the diminishment of life and to increase the enrichment of human life for all who may endure limitations in body, mind, and spirit. Work your power of new life in ways and places and among people and through agencies where we see clearly that this is the goal, and work also in surprising and unheralded people and situations that life may spring up where hope has grown faint. Be the power of fairness, kindness, justice, and compassion. Stir up the gifts of all people to do what is right, and awaken in every heart a vision of the world as the domain of your peace and goodness. Take into your keeping and care the many prayers we bring this day. We bring them with faith in your life-giving power and your redeeming love, revealed to us in Jesus of Nazareth, our risen Savior, who came teaching his whole church how to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. I invite Karen Haas to come up one more time. She's going to bring us a minute for mission.
Good morning. Presbyterian Women annually sponsors the Bread for the World offering of letters. You will find a bulletin insert in your bulletin that gives you the details of this offering. The basics are that we have pre-printed letters out in the lobby to our two senators and to our representative. The letters are asking our congressmen to invest in and protect key programs that will help reduce hunger and poverty. We ask, if possible, in addition to your name and your address, if you can write one or two lines to personalize it, it makes it even more effective. So if you can say, I support hunger issues, or hunger issues matter to me, or just simply sign your name and address. But the big reason we're thinking of now is, why do we do this? And I want to share two stories or events that make it known for me. During our Lenten Bible study, a paragraph really stood out to me. So if you were in the study I was in, you already know I'm doing this. It says, the sacrament is one of those places, as Dwight Vogel says, where God meets us by previous appointment. Isn't that a wonderful phrase, by previous appointment? It means that we can always count on God being present because God has chosen that place and that activity to be present. It seemed to me that God had met me by previous appointment one afternoon in my classroom. So if you can imagine the end of the day, we're getting ready to go, and I'm in the hallway, and I hear the boys arguing, tattling, something's going wrong, and then I hear a little boy say, I'll put it back. All right, I don't go back in. We go out and dismiss. But then I came back in and looked at the desk to try to figure out what the argument was about. And it wasn't a special eraser or someone taking a marker. What he had taken was a breakfast bag. The desk next to him was where a little girl who frequently comes tardy, so I placed a breakfast bag at her desk, and she didn't come that day. So I didn't happen to put it away, so the breakfast bag was still there. So what he was taking was food. He was taking a snack. A similar incident happened about a week later. So the next morning, I pulled him aside, and I said, like, what's going on? And he's like, I won't do it again. I said, no, really, what's going on? What's happened? Do you need a snack? And he said, when I get home, there's no food for me. So he was taking a snack to have a snack at home. So now he and I have an arrangement where I place a snack where he can pick one up so that he has a snack every day without sneaking a snack or trying to figure out how to get a snack. But the point is, this little boy is not starving. This little boy is not malnourished, but this little boy is hungry. And it's hunger programs like our breakfast program that provides necessary foods to people that live really close to us. He's a student in my classroom. It's in Erie, PA. It's probably in each of our neighborhoods. So programs like that are funded by the government and are important to us to support. The second thing happened with me on Easter Sunday. I attended church with my mom, and the service ended like this. It was a big crowd, but just like James, very plucky, he's like, everybody, hold hands. So we all held hands, and we squeezed the hands of the person next to us. And that squeeze was to say, you are the blessed and beloved child of God. No exceptions. Just like our sermon. Then the second squeeze said, you are the forgiven, the agent of reconciliation, and are pledging yourself to share God's peace with the world. also, it struck me that one of the headings in the Bread for the World offering materials that I received said, when there is peace, there is food. And I thought that writing letters to our legislators would be a significant way to address hunger here in Erie and wherever it exists, and that these letters would be a way to share God's peace. So I'm asking you to please consider participating in the Bread for the World offering of letters. Thank you.
Because we trust that the power of the risen Christ is alive in the world and powerfully at work to bring new life to all people, we commit ourselves and our offerings to the ministry of Christ's church. Let us seek to live as Christ's generous people in our giving.
Thank you.
O Creator and Sustainer of all, redeem the energies and motives of your people and transform the gifts of time and money into the continuing message of our risen Savior, life and hope for the world, and love and welcome for every person in his name. Amen. Our hymn is number 295, Go to the World. Benediction is a responsive one printed on the back of the worship bulletin. Scripture assures us what we will be has not yet been revealed. The Lord bless you and keep you. Shine upon you with grace and mercy, and give you what is needed for each new day. Amen.